what's interesting to me is that we are dealing with this whole COVID-19 crisis during the season of Lent. The reason why this is interesting is that the situation really does jar us into thinking about the Easter story a little bit differently than we normally do. You know, the season of Lent is one where we are invited to join Jesus on his journey to the cross. Lent is an invitation to think about the meaning of Jesus' suffering, the meaning of his death, and to realize that Jesus' suffering was about God dealing with the brokenness of his creation and the sinfulness that exists in all of us. Now, in some Christian traditions, sin is thought of as a virus or a disease that has affected all of humanity. It's thought of as being something that infects and destroys, and it's a disease that only Jesus can cure. Well, as we look around our world today, we're all grappling with the implications of COVID-19. It spreads sickness and death. It also spreads fear and uncertainty. And as much as human ingenuity is working on a vaccine, we have yet to find one, and let's be honest, this could take a while. And so for some of us today, we might find ourselves thinking more frequently about our own mortality. We might find ourselves needing to face our fears and our uncertainties, everything that's kind of a part of dealing with the reality of this virus. You know, these days we are painfully aware of our own frailty and just how much we struggle to rescue ourselves. And so in this place of vulnerability, it can lead us to experience the cross and the resurrection in some fresh and new ways. You know, to contemplate the Easter story is to look for where God is in our own story. See, as we look to the cross, we witness God being present in our pain, present in our brokenness, present in our sin. And as we look to Easter Sunday, we see that through Jesus, God is doing the unimaginable and taking something ugly and lifeless and turning it into something beautiful and life-giving. This brings us to our text this morning, which is from John chapter 11, as we continue in our sermon series about getting to know Jesus. In John chapter 11, there's a story of Jesus and his friend Lazarus. It's a rather long story, so we're not going to read the whole thing this morning, but I would encourage you to make some time to read it this afternoon, or at the very least, read it over this week. You know, in this story, Jesus doesn't do what we might want him to do. He doesn't do what the people in this story were hoping he would do. And you know what? We can identify with this. There are times when we find ourselves asking, Jesus, where were you? Or Jesus, why didn't you do something? And these questions are very much a part of this story. See, Jesus hears that his friend Lazarus was sick. And if you read the story, we should pick up some clues that Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha, are actually pretty close to Jesus, which makes Jesus' response a little bit confusing. See, instead of rushing to help his friend, he seems to take his time. And not only this, his response to the news that his friend is sick, it seems a little bit cold. I mean, you'd expect some urgency, you'd expect some emotion, but Jesus doesn't give any of that. In fact, in verse 14, he tells his disciples that, you know, Lazarus has died. And even as he tells them this news, he says that he's glad that things have worked out this way because it's an opportunity for them to believe. Maybe not what you would expect or hope that Jesus would say in a situation such as this. And so when they finally head to Lazarus' home, Jesus is met by one of Lazarus' sisters. He's met by Martha. And in what Martha says to Jesus, we see that faith does not remove our questions. In verse 21, Martha says this, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You know, talk about a heartbreaking, real comment. She's saying, Jesus, where were you? If you'd just shown up, things would have been different. You know, how many times have we found ourselves thinking a similar thought? Maybe it's about a family situation. Maybe it's regarding finances. Maybe it has to do with health. Whether it's big or small, we've all thought something similar. Jesus, where did you go? Where were you? We needed you and you were missing. It's an honest question, and Martha here says it for all of us. Where were you? Now, if we read the rest of what Martha says in verse 28, she manages to express a hint of faith in the middle of this heartache and disappointment. In verse 22, she says, But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Now, have you ever been in a situation where somebody that you cared about has died, and some well-intentioned person says something like, You're going to see them in heaven one day? Yes, there might be truth to that statement, and we need to keep in mind that it's intended to be comforting. But in the moment, it can sound very much like just empty words, can't it? you know, that they aren't really comforting, and as if that person who was speaking these words just didn't know what to say. Well, Jesus tells Martha that her brother will rise again, and I'm sure it sounded like empty words to Martha, because she responds by essentially saying, yes, yes, I know. But Jesus isn't offering a trite comment to her pain here. Instead, he is inviting her to see him as the one who can take something that is ugly and tear-stained and turn it into something beautiful. And so let's read John 11, verse 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? It's an interesting statement that Jesus is making here in the presence of physical death. In the moment of mourning, Jesus invites Martha to see that in him is more to life than what is happening in her immediate circumstances. And so our second point this morning is that Jesus invites us to believe in him in the real moments of life. Now, the way that Martha replies tells us something about the nature of faith. I mean, this is not a feel-good moment. This is a moment filled with grief and unanswered questions. But it's in this moment where she chooses to declare that Jesus is Lord. In verse 27, she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. You know, we're all going to have moments, perhaps seasons, where life is tough, where faith does not feel good, where we are filled with grief, unanswered questions, and where our doubts and our fears maybe just seem too big. And it's in these moments where our faith in Jesus becomes real. You know, do we trust him when things seem to be out of control? Will we love him when our hearts are broken? And Martha here shows us what this looks like. And let's not pretend that this is easy for her to do. You know, real faith is sometimes expressed through tears. Real faith is sometimes expressed through tears. And this is what we see Martha doing. Now, as the story continues, Jesus moves towards the tomb where Lazarus has been buried. And here we find this shortest verse in the English Bible, John 11, 35, and it simply says, Jesus wept. See, as Jesus finds his way to the tomb of his friend, he is overwhelmed with emotion and his heart breaks. You know, one of the things that we need to keep in mind about Jesus and even about God is that he is not removed from our situation. Yes, he knows how the story is going to end, but it's not as if he's off to the side saying, come on, you guys, don't worry about this. Come on, guys, this isn't a big deal. Rather, in this moment, we see Jesus fully entering into the heartache of the moment. You know, in a moment where life seemed to be too much to handle, Jesus joins in with tears of his own. You know, as we look to the cross, we see it as a symbol of Jesus joining us in our brokenness and in our tears. And there he takes on the disease of sin. And as Jesus wept in front of the tomb of Lazarus, so Jesus weeps on the cross as he takes on the sins of the whole world. Now this weeping sets the stage for what Jesus is going to do next, as he asks for the tomb to be opened and he calls his friend Lazarus out. And the dead man walks out. And just imagine being there for a moment. Nobody would have seen this coming. Yes, they'd seen Jesus heal others, and they'd seen Jesus do some pretty amazing things, but Lazarus had been dead and buried for 4 days. Lazarus' sister Martha basically tells Jesus, don't bother with it. Like, it seemed to be too much. Lazarus was too far gone. You know, for us, how many times have we found ourselves in circumstances where life seems to be too much? Like where life seemed to be too, or the problems of life seem to be too big. And it feels like it must be too big for God as well. Well, it's in these moments where Jesus invites us to see that he is able to do what seems to be impossible. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul calls Jesus him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. You know, as we look ahead to Easter, we see that through Jesus, God is doing what seems impossible. Into a world that is infected with sin, Jesus enters and he endures the weeping and the suffering of the cross. And there's a moment in the Easter story where there seems to be no hope. You know, Jesus dies on Friday. He is buried. By all logic, the story is over. And we have to imagine the silence and the despair and the heartache of his friends. Their hope has been crushed, and yet on Sunday, hope walks out of the grave. You know, despite the fact that Jesus talks about his resurrection, nobody saw this coming. It just isn't within the realm of understanding, the realm of comprehension. And yet this is how God works. See, at Easter, we are celebrating Jesus overcoming the powers of sin and death and bringing with him God's life. And so for us this morning, we are invited to look to Jesus, the one who can replace the ugliness of our brokenness, the ugliness of our circumstances, the ugliness of our sin with the beauty of his life. See, when Jesus says that he is the resurrection and the life, Jesus is inviting us to know him as the one through whom we experience the beauty and the newness and the life that God brings. See, through Jesus, God is doing new things. Even in the middle of circumstances that seem too big, even in the middle of things that seem too chaotic, in the middle of situations that seem to have gone on far too long and are too far gone, and yet in our text this morning, and as we look to the cross, we see God through Jesus being present in those moments and doing what we thought was impossible. And so this morning, we are invited to know two things about Jesus. The first is to know that Jesus is with us. You know, let's just acknowledge this is a stressful time for us. And the temptation is to think that God has somehow turned his back on people like us. That because something bad is happening, that it means that God is absent. And so this morning we are reminded that this is just simply not true. In fact, Jesus goes towards the painful moments and brings his tears. He goes towards Lazarus' tomb. He goes towards the cross. And this is to tell us that through Jesus, God is with us. That as we deal with the emotions of this time and we deal with the uncertainty of it, that Jesus is here with us. He acknowledges that this sucks. And he feels the pain and the struggle. He is with us in these moments. Second, we need to know that Jesus is our hope. You know, death is one of the realities that seems so certain and seems so hopeless. And yet, in what we've talked about this morning, we see that Jesus turns the certainty upside down. And as he does this, he is inviting us to draw close to him and to see him as the one who's able to do things that previously we didn't think were possible. It's an invitation to trust him through the tears and the uncertainties of life and to discover his life-giving presence that can give us hope. You know, this week I saw a few calls for prayer and fasting by some different organizations. And prayer and fasting has been a way that the Christian church throughout the centuries has declared their trust in Jesus through difficult times and have presented their request to him. And I thought, you know, one way that we could practice drawing near to Jesus and knowing that Jesus is our hope is through prayer and fasting. So this morning, I want to invite us to join together tomorrow in a time of fasting and prayer. Practically, we're doing this on our own, but I'm hoping that we can do this together in about the middle of the day. You know, what I'm going to suggest here is that tomorrow we abstain from lunch and that we use the hunger pains to prompt us to pray, to express to God our trust that he is the one who will sustain us in all of this, and to seek his presence in the midst of our current circumstances. And so I'm inviting you to join me. Please join me in prayer now. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be together like this. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder that you are present with us, that you are the God who weeps and who is present even when life isn't what it ought to be. Lord, this morning we pray for those who are affected by COVID-19. We pray for those who have been laid off of work, and Lord, we ask that you would provide for all their needs. Lord, that we would not go without in this season, but Lord, we would find ourselves actually experiencing your richness in ways that we didn't think were possible. Lord, for those who are dealing with health concerns, we ask for your healing and your protection. For those who are at work in the medical profession, in whatever capacity, Lord, we ask that you would protect them from this sickness. Lord, ultimately, we ask that your will would be done here as it is in heaven, Lord, and that your healing would come and become the new normal. Lord, for us as a church, as we gather like this for the foreseeable future, we ask that you would unite us, that we would catch a glimpse of what it means to be living as your people in social isolation, and Lord, that we would develop a passion and a heart to be reaching out and connecting with others. Lord, thank you for today. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for joining us this morning. Let me leave us with this word from Scripture. Philippians chapter 4. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you. Have a good week. Bye.